You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more. This is Rooftop Farming with Ben Flanner, a weekly update on heritageradionetwork.org, live from the Brooklyn Grange.
All right, well, we are on the line with Ben Flanner, rooftop farmer extraordinaire. Ben, what's going on over at the farm?
Hi, Aaron. Hey. The farm's doing great. We have been planting more seeds in the greenhouse this week. We've been planting up some more hardy greens plants and also some flowers. And at the end of the week, we're going to just start dabbling with peppers and tomatoes. And then many more are going to be started in the little seedling pod trays in the next couple of weeks in the greenhouse. And then, excitedly, we put in radishes and turnips on Monday outside, out in the beds, at the Navy Yard. So that was our first outdoor planting of the season. That was probably right around March 11th or 12th. I just want to talk about the timing for a minute. It's a good time to start putting crops like that in. Turnips and radishes can withstand a little bit of cold, maybe even a very mild freeze. There's also some risk because the weather is still not 100% cooperative with us at this time. But that's something that farmers face every spring when their fields are starting to get workable, be it up on a roof as we are or at ground level. Some of the mud starts to dry up and you can get out there with your tractor or with your feet or whatever. And you always have to take a few risks, particularly in the spring, once you start doing outdoor planting. But in general, our general methodology is that the seeds and the time are worth it, because the seeds are a pretty small cost compared with the value of the crop if you get a good yield out of it. So I think it's often wiser to err on the side of a little bit of risk, get the seeds in, see if you get some sunny days to germinate it, get things going, and see what happens with the crops.
And Ben, I'd be curious, so let's say things don't go your way, do you end up replanting at a later date, or are you just kind of, you know, out of luck for that planting?
Right. So another detail which I should say is, particularly if we focus on radishes, they're about a 28-day crop. So if we're planting them around March 10th, maybe they take an extra day or two to germinate with the cold, but we're planning to be harvesting them by April 15th. Maybe a tad before that. So by the end of March, we'll have a pretty clear picture as to how germination rates were and what the bed looks like. And at that point, in about 2 weeks, we'll make that call. And, you know, we don't have a firm rule, but let's just say it's about two-thirds germinated out of a potential 100%, maybe it's half. Then we probably just leave it in. And 15 days later, we harvest our radishes. If it's looking pretty dismal, then we'll just rake it out and reseed it. Probably about 3 weeks from the original planting date. So you can sort of cover your losses pretty quickly. All you really lose in this example would be about 3 weeks, or maybe even 2 weeks if you're really on it.
Oh, interesting. And as far as kind of record keeping from year to year, does that play a big role in your decision making, where you look back at your journal from last March with regards to when you planted and how that came out, or do you just kind of go by instinct?
Yeah, it's both, because having records is super important. So, yeah, that's exactly what we do. We look up on our spreadsheet, oh, what day did we put in our first radishes last year? But also remember that every year is different, and, you know, the volatility of the weather swings is a little bit higher at this time of year, so you're still always taking a risk. I think last year we actually threw in some baby choys and some radishes in February. Because I don't know if anybody remembers that we had that great heat spell when it was like a week straight of 60s last year in February, which we did not have this year.
Yeah, no, I was out this morning feeling like it was way colder and windier than I expected. I mean, is wind a big issue being up on the roof?
Yes, it is. Also, especially this time of year before we have roots established, right after we prepare the beds, there's a little bit less root matter and foliage to hold in the beds, so wind can have an impact on germination as well, especially if we get a really wild day or two.
Awesome. Well, that is some good updates. What else is happening at the farm that we should be tucking into?
What else? I also wanted to talk a little bit about cover crops, because we're sort of at that point where we are assessing the value of our cover crops and also starting to turn them in and kill them. So last fall, even last summer, we started putting them in, and we basically put in three cover crops last year that are crops that work well for us, which are oats, specifically winter kill oats, clover, and vetch. Oats and clover make up the majority. And basically, at the point we're at right now, I wish everybody could see the farm. Basically, all the winter kill oats, they grew up like a nice, healthy, strong grass. Just looks like a blade of grass, basically, through the fall. We planted them in August and September, maybe just a wee bit in October. And as soon as they were looking green through December, maybe even early January, we got that deep freeze finally in January, and then they all just turned brown and died. And it's like heavenly tilling those into the beds, because it's already dead. It's way easier than killing crops that are alive. So we're tilling in those winter kill oats, and then we're also tilling in our clovers. And clovers do survive the winter. So they take a little bit more work, but also they are a nitrogen fixer, so they're very valuable. Their roots actually pick up these little tiny nodules of nitrogen, which they pull out of the air and photosynthesis and so forth. So it's like a sort of like a natural fertilizer. So that's all going to the bed, and then goes the seeds.
So the cover crops serve a couple of purposes. I mean, one, to kind of hold the soil in place from season to season, and two, to add, you know, to the nutrient mix in the soil. And then can they also be crops that you would ever kind of harvest for sale, or not really?
Yeah, they certainly can. You nailed it with those two purposes, and last year, this is another great example of record keeping. It was mid-May, and we know that from the records that some clover actually flowered, and then we could sell a little bit of the flowers on the clovers, like the crimson clover. It makes a great tea. It's definitely not crucial to the. It doesn't really hit the finances that hard. So you have to kind of decide from the farm's perspective, all right, is this worth it or not? But then at the same time, we're constantly trying to experiment with some more perennials, which basically act as cover crops, but they might actually be straight up herbs and vegetables. Certain chicories, their roots can survive through the year and then they come back up. Sorrel is a perennial as it stands already, but it acts as a cover crop in that it holds in the soil, and then it just comes back every year. So some of those are great perennials. And that makes the farmer's job a little bit easier, because you don't have to worry about tilling it. You don't have to worry about spreading the seed to cover crop it in the late summer. It kind of, it's like nature's doing some of the work for you, too.
That's great. Well, Ben, thanks so much for taking some time out of your day to give us an update from the farm.
You are welcome. We'll talk next week.
Sounds good. If you want to find out more in the meantime, don't be shy. Visit them at brooklyngrangefarm.com. And stay tuned. Up next is the Farm Report.
All right. Bye, Aaron.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.